Yo, 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 yo. Welcome to the jungle. My name is Jim Rome. Just hanging out.
Yo.
Trying to work out a few things.
Yo, yo, yo.
Yo, yo, yo. What's up, Jolene?
Yo, yo, yo.
This program is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Welcome to the show. My name is Jim Rome. All right, your telephone number is toll free. I've got three interviews, and they're all coming up in the first half of the program, but that should not deter you. Hit me up right now. That number is 1-800-636-8686. 1-800-636-8686. Follow me on Twitter at Jim Rome. Email me directly at Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. We are now exactly 23 days off from Smack Off 26.
The
which means you're on the clock.
Off.
You're running out of time. Oh, by the way, Alvy, where are you with your Smack Off promo? It's coming. It's got to be right about that time. We may drop that for you today. Also, I can guarantee you this, we've got another player profile. Today's Smack Off player profile, and we've been doing one every single day, is none other than Cal in Vegas. My man has had a rather interesting run in the jungle since arriving a few years back. Cal in Vegas gets the player profile treatment today. So that's coming up a little bit later on. In the meantime, you should hit me up right now on the phones, 1-800-636-8686. Follow me on Twitter, at Jim Rome, and you can email me. So the interview is set up like this. Coming up next segment, I've got a kicker for the Denver Broncos, Brandon McManus. Coming up at the top of hour number two, an NFL Hall of Famer, class of 2017, Terrell Davis. Coming up in the middle of hour number two, the head football coach at BYU, Kalani Sitake. One more phone number I want to give you, because I've got episode number 131 of the Jim Rome podcast with actor David Boreanaz. That's going to drop later on today. I am maybe a voicemail or two shy of where I need to be, so you want to dial this number up too. Put it in your phone. You can get at me directly. 949-385-0447. 949-385-0447. Also off the top, I want to say this. We are getting lots of Smack Off videos which are coming in. I rolled our first one in yesterday. I'm encouraging you clones. You might not be a part of the show that day, but you can be a part of the lead up to it. Lay down a video. Send it to us. If it's the right one, we will bump it into the program. And what I'm looking for is your name, your town, how long you've been a viewer or a listener, and who you like or who you don't like. Get all that in 10 or 20 seconds. Keep it clean. Yesterday, we had a shirtless narc bra from a hot tub. And he was our first one. He
bra.
Came in. Narc bra.
Bra.
All right, so that's how today is setting up. These are all the things that we have. And Alvin will have his Smack Off promo, and I've got another player profile. All right, so let me start with the NBA. As the NBA continues to work towards restarting the season and figuring out what that season might actually look like, one of the superstars has fired a shot across the bow. You see, one of the issues for the league right now is to figure out what that season would look like exactly. Are there going to be regular season games? If there are regular season games, how many are there going to be? Just enough to get to 70, which would fulfill the regional TV deals? Or would there be more than that? Or maybe do they go right into the postseason? Or is there some sort of play-in tournament to figure out the final few playoff spots? So lots of questions, and we're still looking for answers. Damian Lillard, for one, though, made it very clear how he feels about coming back for a limited number of regular season games. He's not in favor of that. He told Chris Haynes, quote, "If we come back and they're just like, we're adding a few games to finish the regular season and they're throwing us out there for meaningless games and we don't have a true opportunity to get into the playoffs, I'm going to be with my team because I'm a part of the team, but I'm not going to be participating. I'm telling you that right now and you can put that in there," end quote. All right, what do I always say? Have a take. Have a take. Don't suck. Well, that's a take. In fact, that's a take and a half. Now, for context, Portland is 3.5 games back of Memphis for the final playoff spot in the West. Lillard is saying that if the Blazers come back for a limited number of regular season games, but without a legitimate chance to get into the playoffs, he's not doing it. He's not playing. And if there are no regular season games at all, and the league goes directly into the postseason, then Lillard is going to be pissed. Quote, "Right now, I'm just in a space where I want to come back and play. And if we start playing, I'll be ready to play. But if the league says it's only taking playoff teams, then I'm off to a head start in my summer training. I'll be pissed off because I feel like they basically stopped the season and went straight into the playoffs. We're chasing the team with the toughest schedule in the league, and we're in ninth place. That would be weak. But it is what it is." End quote. In other words, if there are no regular season games, he's going to be pissed. If there are regular season games, but not enough to make the playoffs, he's going to take a seat. Again, I quote, "If we come back and I don't have an opportunity to make the playoffs, I will show up to work, I'll be at practice, and I'll be with my team. I'm going to do all that, and then I'm going to be sitting right on that bench during the games." End quote. So Damon's made it pretty clear. You know, for who, for what? I get it. If it's just a handful of regular season games and you can't actually get into the playoffs, then what is the point? You're not playing for the fans because the fans won't be there. And what if he gets hurt in games that don't matter? But don't get this twisted. He's not going to be skipping town. He'll be there. He'll practice with the team. He'll support the team. But he's going to sit on the bench during the games. And I understand that too, because there wouldn't be anything to play for. That would essentially be a set of exhibition games. But if there is something on the line, he's all in. Quote, "If they come back and they say it's something like a tournament, play-in style, between the number 7 and number 12 seeds, if we're playing for playoff spots, then I think that's perfect." End quote. I do too. See, that's the thing. Damian Lillard is the ultimate competitor. He's not quitting. He's not shutting it down. He's not looking for a way out. He's not trying to get out of anything. He's trying to get into the playoffs. Give him a chance at the playoffs, he'll be fired up and he'll go. And he believes that if they get that chance and they make it in, they're going to make some noise. They played most of their season without their starting center and their power forward, but the expectation is they'll get them both back. Nurk and Collins. And if Lillard is juiced up because Nurk and Collins might be rusty, the whole league will be. Like, he thinks that some teams are going to be vulnerable because their mindset's not going to be right. Damian also said this, quote, "I do feel like if we do come back and our mind is right, we can beat anyone. It's going to be hard to get going with no fans. You've been off all this time and some people are just ready for summer. Like, I haven't played in a long time and the season is basically over to me. Do I really care like I cared before? It's going to be a lot of those factors going on, and that presents a lot of room for a team to overperform, like really mess around and knock some teams off, and then, oh, they're in the Western Conference Finals. It's room for that with this situation," end quote. See what I'm saying? This is not a guy looking to get out of it. It's a guy looking to get into it. I like that take. He sees an opportunity. He knows there are going to be teams that are not properly prepared if and when this does fire up. Teams that are already going to be in summer mode. He thinks that his team and he himself can capitalize on that. You know, quote, really mess around, and then all of a sudden, bam, they're in the Western Conference Finals. One last quote from Lillard. Quote, "So the fact that it's possible and we wouldn't get an opportunity at that, that's weak to me. I ain't getting no younger." Again, that does not sound like a guy who's quitting or looking for a way out. That sounds like a guy who ain't getting no younger. Sounds like a guy who just wants the games to mean something. He wants games with stakes, big stakes, because he knows that Portland can handle those stakes. He knows that he was built for those moments, moments like this.
Clock is off. Portland has a timeout. Lillard, a chance to send the Thunder home. Lillard, long range three, and it's good at the buzzer. Damian Lillard, are you kidding me?
All the guy's asking for is a chance to have that moment. And given how he's shown up in that moment, I would love to see him get that chance once again. I want that as well. I want it for him. I want it for all of us. Because I want to see something like that again. Hell, I want to hear it again right now, Alvy. Do it.
Lillard, long range three. And it's good! At the buzzer! Damian Lillard! Are you kidding me?
Man, I missed that. We all missed that. I can't wait to see that again, but we can't see it if he doesn't get the opportunity. And that's all he's asking for. Just give me the opportunity. But if you're bringing me back to play for nothing, I'm not playing. I don't blame the guy. And he's right. He ain't getting no younger. None of us are. All right, so I'll even throw it out to you. Where do you come out on that? 1-800-636-8686. One more thing about Damian Lillard. What he's saying is this. Why go to all that time to have a camp, do all that work, put ourselves out there, and then ask us to play games that don't matter? If we don't at least have a chance to go into the playoffs, then why do it? I agree. Why do it? Why assume the risk? What if he gets hurt? They're going to rush back. What if he gets hurt? What's the point? 1-800-636-8686. Other things I want to talk about too. Major League Baseball. Got an issue here. I know the last thing anybody wants to hear about or talk about are millionaires fighting with billionaires, but there is an issue about money once again. We'll get into that. They're also asking themselves, for who, for what? Is it really worth it? MLBers already are going to deal with a prorated salary. That's fine. They agreed to that. But now the owners want to take even more money from them. And now a lot of them, especially the big money guys, are saying, yeah, I really don't know. Again, I'm going to put myself out there at a greatly reduced salary with a lot of risk. Is that worth it? Maybe not. What about all the sports stadiums, all the venues? They're just sitting empty right now. If you can't have games, or if you can have games and you can't have fans, how are you going to generate any revenue at all? A lot of these stadium operators are asking themselves that very question, and some of them are actually getting pretty creative with it. And I'll have that for you too. Also, you know, we talk sometimes about NBA Twitter, how awesome it is. You know, it's better than NBA Twitter, UFC Twitter, because the UFC, again, is the only sport where guys can give each other the thumbs, but then right after that, give each other the hands for real. I've got an update on that, too. 1-800-636-8686. Also, in addition to it, a player profile. Cal in Vegas. At Squirrel 2 tweets, I have a feeling Cal in Vegas' smack off player profile is going to be extremely short. Wait and you'll find out. Maybe not. Hey, Squirrel, I got a question for you. Do you have a beard? You better not. Cal will rip it off your face and make you eat it. 1-4-3.
Vegas, I'll be waiting for you at the airport. Then I'm going to rip that beard off your face and make you eat it.
1-4-3-C-1 tweets. So, Cal in Vegas profile will be as short as he is. Hey, 1-4-3-C-1, you better not have a beard. He'll rip it off your face and make you eat it.
Next time you fly to Las Vegas, I'll be waiting for you at the airport. Then I'm going to rip that beard off your face and make you eat it.
At Table Slam Family tweets, Jim, are you going to cut the Cal in Vegas' profile down to a miniature version of a normal profile to fit his stature? Hey, Jake, you better not have a beard. He'll rip it off your face and make you eat it.
I'm going to rip that beard off your face and make you eat it.
At Denlesks tweets, Cal in Vegas' player profile should be very short. It also shouldn't last very long. Hey, Denlesks, do you have a beard?
I'm going to rip that beard off your face.
He'll rip it off your face and make you eat it. At Not Total Big E tweets, a player profile on Cal. That'll be a short segment. Hey, Big E, do you have a beard?
I'm going to rip that beard off your face.
He'll rip it off your face and make you eat it. I'm starting to get the idea that maybe y'all think the Cal is short. Who cares? Cal and pretty much everybody else in the history of the world cannot really have any say in how tall or how short they are. All right? It's not his fault. Do better. Do better than calling a guy short. And if you're going to do so, you best not have a beard. Because he'll rip it off your face.
Beard off your face.
And make you eat it.
And make you eat it.
All right, then. 1-800-636-8686. When we come back, Denver Broncos kicker Brandon McManus joins us. Capital One knows life does not alert you about your credit card. Hey, couch surfers, we've got nonstop tunes to keep you rocking while you work. Oh, hey, Colleen. Yes, you, Colleen with a K. Your free trial of Movie Plus ends tomorrow, and your card may be charged. Do you want to continue or do you want to cancel? So meet Eno, the Capital One assistant. Eno looks out for surprise charges, like when free trials expire, and helps if you need to fix them. Eno, another way Capital One is watching out for you and your money when you are not. Capital One, what's in your wallet? Limitations do apply. Capital One.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Welcome back. Jim Rome with you on this Wednesday. Big day. Next hour, Hall of Famer Terrell Davis. Also next hour, the head football coach at BYU, Kalani Sitake. We are live in Southern California, and I am in our SoCal Bay studios, where I've been since the virus hit. It's great to be here. As promised, we are joined right now by a Super Bowl champion, a kicker for the Denver Broncos. He is entering his seventh season with the Broncos. He is Denver's NFL Players Association representative. Played his college ball at Temple. He was undrafted in 2013. Brandon McManus is my guest. Brandon, great to have you on. Before we talk about anything, let me first ask you, how are you and everybody around you, your wife and your twins, doing during this very unusual time?
Thanks, Jim, for having me. I appreciate you asking. Everything's been good. We've been fortunate to be healthy and stay safe. You know, my twins are 16 months old, so... really been keeping us active, kind of just around the house here and stuff like that. So we haven't had the urge to need to leave the house much. But I appreciate you asking, and hope everyone out there listening and everyone's staying safe. And hopefully, you know, we're getting to the bottom of this and kind of can get out there back to real civilization again.
I appreciate you saying that. Good to have you on, Brandon. All right, so very early on in the COVID-19 crisis, you, your foundation, and the Broncos teamed up to fund 120,000 meals through the Food Bank of the Rockies. How did that come to be, and then what did it feel like to be able to give back like that?
Yeah, I started my foundation last year, and it was important for me to, I've had some good mentors, you know, who I have this platform to be an NFL player to impact as many lives as I can. So I wanted to do something special and help. Once it was kind of in the beginning part of this crisis at that point, and I wanted to be a partner up with. There's an event called The Taste of the Broncos that I've been the MC for the past couple of years, which helps bring money to the Denver Food Bank Rockies and the homeless shelters here in Colorado. And so I knew I already had a pre-existing relationship with them, and I knew it was a good time for my foundation and myself, and end up partnering with the Broncos to provide, you know, like you said, 120,000 meals. And then just last week, my foundation again, I wanted to highlight some. I'm a big foodie, and I like all the, you know, new restaurants and trying everything here. So some of the best restaurants, you know, that I think here in the Denver area, partnered with them, and we end up donating 500 meals to the local hospitals here for the healthcare workers. So, we've just been able to try to give back as much as we can here during this, tough time.
Well done. Brandon McManus is joining us. Now, you and Von Miller are extremely close. In fact, he is the godfather of one of your sons. So what was your reaction when you found out that he had tested positive for COVID-19?
Yeah, it was tough. Obviously, I was actually going over there to work out because he's got a gym at his house there. And I actually had stopped probably the week before he got it. For some reason, just the timing you worked out, I was kind of busy at the house and stuff like that. And, you know, he called me instantly, let me know that, he was positive. And at that time, one of the doctors that I work with here, he was kind of doing a trial period. He's, you know how the MLB did a testing for the antibodies with a bunch of the staff members, stuff like that. He was kind of part of something similar. And I was able to go at least do some antibodies test there and stuff like that. And you know, my wife and I were negative there, stuff like that, just to double check, you know, because, you know, I had been hanging out with Vaughn. But, you know, he, you know, I think it was a serious issue for him, obviously, with having asthma and stuff like that. And I think, you know, he took it very seriously. And, you know, I'm just happy that he's healthy and, you know, hopefully back better than ever.
Brandon McManus is joining us. All right, then. So I enjoy having kickers on the show because I'm fascinated by the job and I'm fascinated by the mindset that you have to kick at that level. When did you first start kicking?
I was a pretty good athlete growing up. I played every sport. My main sport was soccer. And, you know, I loved football. I was going to the Eagles game since I was 3 years old. My dad was taking me. And, you know, I just loved the sport of football. I just was so busy playing the other sports that I didn't start actually playing football until seventh grade. Middle school, I played quarterback safety, and I was the obvious shoe-in as a kicker, you know, having my soccer background. And continued to play, you know, a bunch of sports up until 10th grade there, and then really thought that my best opportunity to get a college scholarship was kicking. I really honed in on that and was fortunate enough to get the scholarship to Temple and started all 4 years there right away and, you know, end up leaving as the all-time leading scorer. And then, as you said in the beginning, you know, I was hoping to get drafted, went undrafted to the Colts, sat out a whole year, you know, trying to compete against, you know, the greatest kicker of all time, Adam Vinatieri there. And then I had a, you know, a little break when I was with the Giants in 2014. They ended up trading me to Denver. And then have been here since and was able to win a Super Bowl. So it's worked out. But, you know, I really kind of honed in on kicking, you know, in seventh grade when I started football and then 10th grade when I really just focused on it.
Brandon McManus is my guest. Now, former Broncos kicker Matt Prater holds the record for the longest field goal in history at 64 yards. You routinely make kicks of that length or more warming up in a game. And then last season against the Chargers, it looked like you might get a chance for a monster field goal, but ultimately you were called back to the sideline. How much is that record then in the back of your mind or maybe at the front of your mind?
Yeah, no, I think, you know, like I said, being a football fan since I was 3 years old having one of the stronger legs in the NFL and knowing that I can make that, obviously you still have to put it between the two yellow poles. But, you know, the distance, you know, isn't going to be an issue for that case. And, you know, it's just something I would love to be a part of, you know, in NFL history. You know, I'm good friends with Matt Prater, and, you know, he texted me afterwards, and he couldn't believe that they didn't let me kick it. And, you know, at the end of the day, it's always obviously the coach's decision. And, you know, I definitely – still, and he knows, you know, my buddy Vic Fangio knows that I still disagree with that. But, you know, hopefully at the end of the day, you know, I have another chance to break it. It's just a lot of times, you know, you don't get the perfect setting like that, that opportunity right at halftime there. But, you know, I would love to have that record. I think it's a unique thing to have. And, you know, I always like to keep setting the bar for the kickers who keep getting better and better every year.
How far do you think you can go in a perfect situation, the right conditions, you're feeling it, you hit it right? How far, what's the longest field goal you think you can hit realistically?
I'm getting old now, Jim. But, no, I think 2 years ago or 3 years ago now, I kicked a live rep in practice with the live Russian from 73 here in Denver. Woo. I had some wind, and it was the summertime in training camp, so it's definitely optimal conditions. But in a game, I think, you know, you're more around the 68-ish number, I think, is probably a realistic thing, you know, with warm weather. It doesn't technically really have to be in Denver, per se. I think, you know, down in Miami or stuff like that, when the ball is still going to travel, or in Arizona. I think 68 is probably a good number that is a realistic game number.
68 would be a great number. Brandon McManus joining us now. You're more than just a kicking machine. As an example, last April, you went to Augusta and you watched a practice round of the Masters and the tournament itself. And you've known Zach Johnson for a long time. The story goes, you asked him for an extra ticket. He then asked you if you wanted to be his caddy for the par 3 contest. What was your reaction when he asked you that?
Yeah, it was incredible. I'm a big golf fan, and I've known Zach for a bunch of years now, going to his charity event out in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, benefiting his foundation for kids and education there. And, you know, I asked for an extra ticket. I was bringing my brother-in-law because I know it was a dream trip for my dad and my brother Andy. And, wanted to, you know, create that experience for him. So then 2 weeks before we got there, he texted me about, you know, caddying in the par three, and I almost thought he was joking because I couldn't believe it. But, you know, it's just this unbelievable experience just to be there and then obviously to be inside the ropes. And you know, his caddy, Brett Waldman, showed me around, and, you know, I had an incredible experience. One of the cool stories is just, I was in the caddy barn. He said, if I wanted a beer, I said, yeah, of course I'll take a beer. So we take the beer, and he goes, all right, let's go. So we walk up right to the practice putting green, and I still have a beer in my hand, and I'm watching Tiger putt, Justin Thomas putt. I'm just sitting on the practice green with a beer in my hand. I'm looking around, and no one else has it. I'm like, what am I doing here? But,
so good.
No, it was an incredible experience to be a part of that. And I got a lot of crap from Peyton Manning because he said usually the only people who are caddying in it are the players' kids or supermodels. So he cracked a bunch of jokes on me for it.
That is funny. So what did you think about the way Peyton was hitting it on Sunday? What did you make of his game?
Yeah, I thought he played for those conditions. Obviously, it's tough, and then to be on TV like that, you know, I think he would like to be better off the tee. You know, I think him and Tom were spraying it, you know, into those pine straws and those bushes. But I thought his iron play was fantastic, and you know, when they needed him, kind of on 16 with that incredible shot there, closest to the pin, almost had the $25 million hole in one, and on 18 to get it on the green there and let them, you know, pretty much two putt for the win. I thought was, you know. He's very clutch, you know, similar to what he's been doing for his whole career. And, you know, I enjoyed that match. I thought it was a blast for everybody to watch, just to see two of the best players in golf and two of the best players ever in football, and just to see how humbling it is that these, you know, football players just get, you know, beaten down by the game of golf.
Hey, Brandon, one last thought before I let you go. What is your expectation as it relates to a timeline for training camp and off-season activities?
Yeah, I think, you know, just we're kind of coming up to the later part of when the OTAs would end. Usually it's June 15th around there, but with this, when they initially started with the virtual meeting stuff, they kind of pushed it to June 26th. It was kind of the last day that we could really do anything at a facility. But, you know, with some of the states still not opened, all 32 facilities have to be opened. And there's still a grace period of getting, one, employees and coaches into the building, and then also a grace period of build-up of practices that we can do on the field. And I just don't know if it's worth going in for maybe a week and we can't even do much on the field because we have kind of that grace build-up here because you don't know exactly what players have been doing in the offseason. You know, you got almost a $200 million salary cap and you don't want someone to pull a hamstring because you don't know what they've been doing just because they flew in, just got off a plane and they have to do a three-day practice because that's the only time frame we can do. So in my opinion, just, you know, from here and everything, and the best breakdown is that we would report for training camp around that July 28th time, and I think that's the first time we would be in a NFL facility. But I think we'll be able to go, you know, full-fledged right from that time period.
Brandon McManus is a Super Bowl champion, the kicker for the Broncos, and entering his seventh season with the team. We covered a lot of ground. Brandon, great to have you on the show. Appreciate the time. Thanks for the interview. Hope we can do it again.
Thanks, Jim. Appreciate it.
Great talking to you. Brandon, thank you. Did cover a lot of ground with him. And he is their player rep, so that's why that was critical to have that part of the conversation at the very end. We will take a short timeout. I've got an open segment coming up next. Top of the hour, Terrell Davis joins me. Kalani Sitake next hour. Hey, listen, if you want to anticipate how the player profile is going to go at Cal in Vegas, that's fine. But by anticipate, I mean do better than keep thinking of different ways to call him short. We covered that already. Or better yet, you know what you do? You lay out. You lay out and let me handle the player profile. We will have that later on. Smack Off is 23 days out. Winner gets $5,000. Second place, runner-up gets nothing. Third place gets even less. You're playing for $5,000, winner take all. And the title of Smack Off Champ, King of Smack for a year. You got to take down the champ, the BIC. Before I do anything...
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
If you're watching on CBS Sports Network, you saw another bump in video. Ryan in H-Town with his daughters. That can be you. Later on, Adam Hawk will tell you how to do that. Time to ask the pros. It's Wednesday, so you clones get to ask me a question brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Go to cbssportsradio.com/askthepros. Ask me a question. I will answer one of them later on. And thank O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices. Excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Screw it. Let's get right to it. Don't look now. We are now just 23 days out from Smack Off number 26. 23 days until the very best callers in sports talk radio get in the squared circle and let their hands go. Let their hands go for $5,000. And just as importantly, the coveted title, King of Smack. Through 25 of these things, one quarter of a century, only 14 callers have punched their tickets to the club and cemented their legacy as a Smack Off champ. Now, this guy that I'm about to profile would probably kill to be number 15. And I wouldn't put him on the air in 23 days if I didn't think that he had a chance. The guy I'm talking about is probably the single most belligerent caller in the jungle right now. The guy I'm talking about is Cal in Vegas. Now, Cal in Vegas starts showing up around here right around, I want to say, 2015. Right away, I thought he had some game. It didn't take him long to earn an invite to Smack Off 21. I've always said, a golden ticket does not guarantee a spot on the air at the main event. Just ask Cal. He sat on hold for 3 hours, never even got to shoot his shot. But he stayed with it. And then, in 2016, he made his Smack Off debut, and he delivered a line about Conor McGregor that, of course, still follows him around a half a decade later.
Conor McGregor, you're the most overrated athlete I've ever seen in my entire life. You couldn't go two rounds against some out-of-shape, tequila-drinking pothead, and you're the king of Dublin. Next time you fly to Las Vegas, I'll be waiting for you at the airport. Then I'm going to rip that beard off your face and make you eat it.
An all-time threat. Not to another clone. That wasn't like clone-on-clone crime. That was him threatening one of the baddest dudes in the world. And not a one-off either, by the way. Not even close. Threatening violence against MMAers, former basketball players, and every single clone who has ever crossed him. That's essentially Cal in Vegas' brand. He owns that space.
Man, tell Chael, the next time I see him, I'm kicking his ass. I could tackle Marshawn Lynch. I'll grab him by the dreadlocks and slam him into the ground. Hey, Kyle, next time you're in Las Vegas, I'm kicking your ass. Stephen H-Town, I'm going to beat his ass, too. Chael Sonnen, as soon as you get here, I'm slapping you. Just like I'll slap your sidekick right in the face, Charles Barkley. Charles, the next time I see you in Las Vegas, I'm going to splash my drink in your face. Then I'm going to throw you through a freaking window, you big fat fraud.
Besides threatening to throw dudes out of windows and slap them in the face, Cal, of course, had a pretty memorable beef with ESPN's Jeff Passan back in 2016. Remember, at that time, Passan was writing for Yahoo and was a regular guest on this program. Passan knew the jungle cold and even showed up in a couple of smack-offs, one in which he called out Cal in Vegas. Cal's response did not come on the biggest stage, but it didn't need to. He fired back in the dead of October 4 years ago.
I love how Jeff thinks that he's the only clone with a career and a family, while the rest of us just sit in our bedrooms with a can of cheese balls in our lap. Jeff, you sound like a third grader. You said I can't read or count, and quote, pluck dingleberries. My dad can beat up your dad? Didn't want any of that? What's next, Jeff? I know you are, but what am I, Smack? Jeff, you also look like a third grader, with that little pudgy freckle face, those giant elephant ears, and that $8 Leave It to Beaver supercut. Jeff, you get hooked easier than Odell Beckham Jr. That's because I'm that guy you grew up hating. The guy that played varsity sports, got a lot of chicks, and was invited to all the cool parties. While you sat in front of the TV on Saturday nights, popping your own zits and watching Skinamax with a jar of Vaseline. The only way you can contribute was writing lame articles for your school newspaper. Now you write lame articles for some website that I had no idea still existed.
Freaking Cal. Yeah, that's a little dated. Passan's doing pretty well for himself. But freaking Cal. The thing about Cal is he might actually be his own worst enemy. He snatched 4 golden tickets since 2015, but only made it to air in the Smack-Off once. And that was in 2016 when he did not even hit the board. Right now, he shares the exact same Smack-Off career as John in New York, Jolene in Farmington, and Ray Ray in Tampa. It's a fact. Look it up. 1 Smack-Off appearance, 0 top 10 finishes. My man has also been a magnet for the Choppa Blades. He's had half of his golden tickets ripped back. Last year, his RSVP was so bad, I called it the worst RSVP in Jungle history. And it cost him a spot in Smack-Off 25. And given his horrible history of failing to walk from the on-deck circle to the dish, I can only assume this is why he already RSVP'd earlier this month and said on Twitter that he will not be calling again until the 19th.
I look like Kareem standing next to Rick in Buffalo. The reason I look small in that photo is because we're standing on a hill and Kyle's iPhone 3 is crooked. And Kyle is supposed to be some professional photographer. Kyle, you take pictures about as well as you run smack. Jim, I had the displeasure of riding in Kyle's Hotel on Wheels. That car is disgusting. It smells like weed and stale farts. Matt and Van came in here running his mouth. My favorite part of last year's Smack-Off is when Matt got run. I mean, that loser thinks we're friends. Matt likes to come down to Vegas and hang out. It's because he knows I'll let him borrow some money. Matt says he gets down like Wilt Chamberlain in the bedroom. Wilt Chamberlain, you wish. More like AC Green. Consider this my official RSVP to Smack-Off 26. Just like that giant zit on Brad and Corona's arse, I'll be there.
Now, normally I would caution against laying low. In fact, I say it every single day. But in Cal's case, given his track record, it might be his best move. It might be in his best interest to put a death grip on that ticket this year and just sit out the next 23 days and then find a phone. Because the fact of the matter is, especially after I hear that, I want this guy in the Smack-Off. He is the very epitome of belligerent and absurd, and I am here for it.
I love how your producer, Adam Hawk, tries to sound like some tough guy when he answers the phone. Who's this? Who's this? It's Cal in Vegas. I created Smack-Off season. Before I got here, Smack-Off season was nothing but a couple of perverted RSVP calls. Hey, Jim, I can't believe you put me on hold for Joe Montana. I'm Conor McGregor. I got a tattoo of a tiger. Then I'll rip that tiger off your gut and beat you with it. Danica from Jacksonville. Danica, they refer to you as the queen. The queen of what? The last thing you ruined was the first hour of the Smack-Off. Keep Mike and Indy's name out of your mouth. He's my pitch. Maybe Jim can start up a women's Smack-Off league. Featuring Jolene, Sarah T, and that little bitch, Brad and Corona. I'd like to congratulate Adam Hawk for finishing the L.A. Marathon. I mean, I guess you could call that running. And I was surprised at how well Keith Arnold did. Keith, you don't even look athletic with your little bird chest and that huge gut.
Bodie and Pearland, you're a grown man that uses words like bubba and some bitch, really? Floyd Mayweather thinks you're illiterate.
Dana White, you look just like Andre Agassi, except you're really big and fat. Dana, I love the way you stand in between the fighters that weigh in, like you could do something.
Mike McCarthy. Hey, Mike, I hope you're in your car listening to me right now, you fat ass. And you can't coach. Mike, you have the brains of a pissing.
Old man Ritt doesn't have a care in the world. Just sitting back there crushing candy and flicking boogers all over the place. Like some 2-year-old. Jim, I have to go. I got an elevator full of women coming up here to see me. And the Smack-Off on the 3-minute man, but in the bedroom, I'm all night. Oh!
You know, there's there's some things I simply cannot explain. As an example, why that's so funny. Why I'm laughing so hard. Cal, brother, you are belligerent. Listen, brother. Man, learn from your mistakes. You've been at this now since 2015, and yet somehow, despite that incredible catalog of smack, all of that, you've only parlayed that into 1 appearance and no top 10 finishes. Despite all of that smack, all of those threats, all of that belligerence, this would only be your 2nd Smack-Off appearance. And yet you've been at it since 2015. That is bad math. So I'm telling you right now, I keep saying, do something that makes me want to take your phone call that day. Hearing all that, I want to take your phone call that day. But don't do anything stupid between now and then so I rip that ticket. You can make that event better, but you can only make it better if you're in it. June 19th. Can't get here soon enough. For me, for us, but most importantly, for Cal. Is he going to make it to the 19th? I don't know. I can't guarantee it. That's Cal. This is why we do the profiles. I don't think you really know any of these guys. I always say it's about athletes. We don't really know any of them. I could say the same thing about clones. We don't really know any of these people. But it's great to recap it like that. And as I mentioned, there's some things I can't explain, such as why that was so funny to me.
I'm going to splash my drink in your face. Then I'm going to throw you through his freaking window, you big fat fraud.
The thing about that is Charles Barkley has made it pretty clear on this show many times. He doesn't give a damn. He will run you through a window if you're asking for it. I don't know, Cal. No offense. Between you and Chuck, I'm taking Chuck. I'm guessing you're the guy going through the window. But out of respect to Cal, there's nobody he won't fight. Cal is the epitome of likes to fight guy. He threatens everybody. Hall of Famer Terrell Davis joins me when we come back, and I want your thoughts on Cal.